Leah, and the Talmud Torah should be Lizachro. I wanted to discuss an important topic. Some might call it timely, I would call it timeless, and that is the issue of Lashon Hara. And speak about it from a number of perspectives. It's interesting, I could have spoken about it next week, since the Pasuk in Chumash of Moshelech Rachel is really from Kedoshim, which will be next week's leaning. On the other hand, it's also true, as you know, that Tazria and Metzorah, as they come combined with two parshos, is obviously predominantly discussing the laws of Tzaraas. And we know that the Gemaras in Masech Zerachim, very famous Gemaras, speak about in different degrees all of the different very with very strong language for someone who speaks Lashon Hara being the primary famous cause of Tzara'as. One of the Mamari Chazal, which is very significant, I actually spoke about it in a drasha a few years ago, was where the Gemara speaks about Arba Choshev Kemes. There are four who are considered as if, so to speak, they're not alive, one of the Tzlan. And it's interesting that the other three are people who did not have control of what happened to them, to a large extent, I would say. Certainly in two cases, for sure, and in one case, probably also. The Ani, probably, presumably they don't have a control over that. Asuma, someone who's born blind, someone who doesn't have children. Now, those are out, you know, yet, the point is that the Gemara is not making a value judgment of how terrible they are, Chas v'Shalom. But, Nebuch, there's something where they couldn't control, but there is certainly something missing in their life, in a very profound way. The fourth is really unique. The Gemara says the Mitzora, someone who speaks Lashon Hara, is somehow Chashuv Kemes. And Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz points out very beautifully that that probably should be understood in light of another unique component of Mitzora and Tzaraas, a halachic uniqueness, and that is that, as the Gemara speaks about, from Pesukim in our parsha of Badad Yishkon, that he's supposed to be alone. That he's supposed to be alone. I'm thinking of a different person. So the Mitzorah is supposed to be out. We know that the campment of the Jewish people was in three camps. And other people who were Tamei, of course we wanted to, you know, sequester the people who were Tamei because they could be Metamei of everyone else. You know, you could go from one problem to an epidemic. Who needs that? So the point is to sequester them for that week until they become Tohar. So different types of Tumah require certain levels of separation. And even the most highest degree of Tumah, such as someone who is Tamei Meis, didn't have to go as far removed. The one who's singularly banished to the most outer reaches of the camp is the Metzorah, is the one who speaks Lashon Hara. And Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz said that these two things are connected. Because he's Levadad, because he is alone, he's Chashav Kemes. And it points out, as the Gemara says, that someone who speaks Lashon Hara sows seeds of division in the community. So seeds of division, the Gemara says, between husband and wife, between siblings, between, and if you have that separation in that period, you're not part of a community, Mamela Yir Levada, that's why this person is put where they are, and therefore it's something less than full life. And again, this is true, I want to just be very clear, this is true about the most mundane, prosaic, non-high-profile case of Lashon Hara. Two people sitting in the back of Yeshiva, schmoozing, you know, did you see so-and-so? He does this, he's a batlan. He doesn't learn, oh, come on. Right? That's Lashon Hara. We've lost sight of that. That's Lashon Hara. That's what I'm talking about. So, it's interesting, Rabbeinu Yonah has an interesting take, I think, on perhaps what's so terrible about it. It's a little bit of the Talmid Mitzvos, but he says this in Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah focuses, which I don't know if it will be true about everyone who gossips, but certainly can be true about some people. That is, he says that it's based on a fundamental a character flaw, a mida of people who, as I think, I think this is the correct application in Yiddish, can't forgive anyone, anything else. They can't see anything good in anybody else. They're not looking to give a guy a break. There are certain people, as we know, who are always looking to be complimentary about other people. Certain people who want to see the best in other people. They want to they want to celebrate with other people's accomplishments. And we have other people who are just the opposite. Who, if they have ever a chance to knock a guy down, to not give him credit for something, you know, he doesn't deserve credit for doing well on the test. Really, his mother helped him. You know, little things like that. He's successful in business. Yeah, that's because he got lucky, and that's because his father gave him money. They can't give anyone a compliment. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's a certain Shorish Hamida. So that's the underlying problem that you talk about with Lashon Hara. Looking to talk, there's so many things you can say good about people. So many good things you can do with your time. So why are you only talking about other people? So that's the Mida that he refers to. It's interesting. The Gemara in Masechta Pesachim teaches us something very interesting. My Gemara is here. Gemara in Masechta Pesachim teaches us something interesting, which the Chafetz Chaim, the Rambam, obviously before him, and many others point out, is not only interesting, but it goes to show you a common misconception of Lashon Hara. That is that we usually think of Lashon Hara is a problem when someone has negative intentions. Negative intentions. So the Gemara in Pesachim describes the following reality. Hopefully I'll find it quickly for you. And see, and I hope ignore whoever's calling me. I don't know who that is, but I will ignore them. Okay, from New York. The Gemara talks about the following case. I'm sorry for the delay. Why can't I find it? So here we go. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you for waiting. Okay. The Gemara says here in Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis the following story. That somebody who is considered very contemptible, someone who's haroa dvar erva b'chavero, let's see somebody do a mistake, and dvar erva here is just an example. See someone do something which has culpability b'nei adam, so you want to come testify. And you go to Beis Din, u'meyid bo chidi, there's only one problem, says the Gemara, you're the only witness. What's the problem? Api shayim edim, right? There's nothing you can do about it. What's the example of the Gemara? There's a story, a mamash story. He had the tuvia, chata. Tuvia did a particular avera. I think the impression is that it was in the area of erva. For us, it's zigud. Somebody, we don't know who he is. L'chudei, he saw it, he witnessed it, and he went before Bezdin. V'asid bei kamed rapapi. Testified before rapapa. What did rapapa do? Nagdei l'zigud. He gave him malchus. So you can only imagine the frustration of the zugudder. Right? There's no implication here that he has anything but the best of intentions. So the Gemara says he responds, Amar lei, Tovya Chata, the other guy did the sin, the Zigud Mingid, and you're going to give me the Malkus? So he answers, or Papa says to him, Amar lei in, yes, the Sibyl, Yochum Eid Echad, Be'ish. Right? It's a pasuk. There's something destructive about spreading something which cannot be then done anything constructive about. So he continues, and he says, Va'at l'chudech ashadis bay. Shem rabba almav kamit this bay. The only thing that's accomplished, and the only is the stress here, as we'll see in a moment, the only thing that's accomplished is that you're sullying the waters, that you're making a guy look bad. When that's the only thing that's accomplished, that's not considered productive. And therefore, he got the malchus. So, the reason I mentioned to you now, we'll see in a moment how we have to apply it more specifically, but the point that the Chafetz Chaim and the Rambam already make is, there's no implication here that he had anything with the best of intentions, or at least neutral. I mean, maybe he's not trying to save the world, but he's doing what he's supposed to do. Everyone knows, come to Bezdin, right? He wasn't prattling in the community. He went to Bezdin. And yet, even in certain unique circumstances, if there's no constructive purpose, so that can be itself a problem. And again, I have this all the time with people talking to me about the most mundane things. I have this sometimes even with family members. And two misconceptions. One is they'll say, but it's true. True does not tell you, say you're Lashon Hara. Number two is, I don't mean anything bad by it. I'm not trying to say anything bad, but. So those are just two misconceptions. And again, we all know how ubiquitous and how difficult Lashon Hara is. And that's why we needed a Chavetz Chaim to be a Chavetz Chaim. We need him to write a Sefer. It's probably the single most daily Nisayon for many of us. So it's worth just remembering those things. Now, in terms of the practical point of this Gemara, which is obviously a very important one, because I really do want to spend some time, really, for most of the rest of this year, speaking about when it's mutter or good to speak Lashon Hara. Because it's also an important halakha. So this L'cha'ora is the most restrictive or limiting of a Gemara. In Beis Din, no malicious intent, and yet the Gemara still seems to say it's a terrible thing. As is pointed out. So the first thing to mention, which is interesting, is that there are some Rishonim, like the Smag, who thinks that, ironically enough, there might be something worse in Beis Din. This Gemara was only talking about in Beis Din. Why? Because Beis Din, in the formal legal sense, on the one hand, when certain criteria are met, they have the most power. But because of that, their hands are tied in almost any other circumstance. So, given the fact that in Beis Din, one person can't do anything, so then, that's where it's a problem, says the smug. But Luyitzurir, you had another type of a scenario, not with Beis Din, in some other communal setting, where the one person testifying could make a difference. Says the smug, that's not what this Gemara was talking about. Now, as it happens, Chavetz Chaim is not willing to mekabel. Chavetz Chaim quotes this, he's not willing to mekabel such a black and white chiluk. He's not willing to say, well, just because it was anywhere out of Beis Din, this halacha doesn't apply. He thinks, in theory, one person could even be a problem, not just in Beis Din, even out of Beis Din. It's also worth noting, though, before we see other things from the Chavetz Chaim himself, that the other Rishonim who point out, and I think there'll be a common denominator, which I've already hinted at, which we'll be able to, I think, crystallize in a moment, but other Rishonim, for example, the Smag as well, and the Yireim, the Sefer HaYireim, point out that even if you won't be able to be mechayev, for example, in erva, right, so maybe that's a capital crime. So only one witness in certain cases can't actually bring that result. But let's say it's the type of case where one witness could make the person bring a shvua. Now, you couldn't actually produce what your desired result is, but there would be a result. The response says that's also not what the Gemara was talking about. Or furthermore, another example is in that case, what if you could prevent an aveira? As if you, the one person, right, you know that this couple is having an erva relationship. So you'll go, and presumably, if a Beis Din has real abilities the way they're supposed to, they also have their quote-unquote police force. So maybe they can't punish the person, but maybe they can do whatever they can to prevent any future aveiros. So the Smag and the Iran both said that's not what the Gemara was talking about. It never meant to preclude that. What it meant, either it meant like the Smag himself thinks that it's only Beis Din versus non-Beis Din, or you can even be more elastic, that even within Beis Din there might be some cases where there is something positive. So on the one hand, again, it's worth noting the Gemara does talk about it as a problem, but then you have the Rishonim struggling with not making it as restrictive, frankly, as the Gemara itself acknowledges. Now when it comes to these kind of halachos, for a variety of reasons, you know, with very few exceptions, and we may talk to Blinet at the end of this year about one of the exceptions, with very few exceptions, right, we almost don't, you know, like, you can't talk about this, like, you're not, you know, past go. Go here is the Chavetz Chaim. Not only because he was the most contemporary, but because these halachos were so widespread and elaborate. Morpheus, he's the one, he really collated them in a way that had never been done before him. But other than the Rambam, maybe a little bit, Hilchos Deos, but nothing as comprehensive as the Chavetz Chaim did. So, even he, I would say in Hilchos Lashon Hara, he's even given more weight than he would be in any other area of halacha as the Mishnah Berurah. I think that's a fair statement. His single most influence, not in terms of people studying, in terms of passing halacha l'maisa. So, I mentioned, I have a smag, a yirei, and we have different shitas. So, the truth of the matter is, even though I think they're worth seeing for a moment, at least in technical Lashon Hara perspective, the Chavetz Chaim rejected the smag. He did not accept that. He had a more restricted application of this Gemara. However, even the Chavetz Chaim, and we'll get to more of the details momentarily, but as you all know, even the Chavetz Chaim has his famous psak that if something will be l'toeles, it will be to benefit, then it may be mutter, and in some cases even obligatory to speak. So how do you put those two together? How do you put the psak where he seems to quote the Gemara Psachim and his l'toeles psak? How do you put those two together? I think by now the answer should be obvious. I mean, almost explicitly obvious, but my point is what I think, at least, is that even though the application differs a little bit, what I'm trying to suggest is that the shoresh of this Chavetz Chaim's famous psak is already hinted at, even in the Rishonim, that he doesn't accept. That is, I believe, if I understand them correctly, that the Smag and the Yireim were essentially suggesting that. The Smag and them were basically trying to say that, listen, yes, the Gemara is teaching us a principle. But what is the principle? The principle was that one aid can't do anything. There is no tefillos for one aid. But once that's true, we have to think about, are there times where one aid can have a tefillos? It's not all or nothing. It's not a black or white. That's not what the Gemara meant to say. To aid him with a formal Beis Din, if you have all the trappings of a Beis Din, if you can have that most pristine, ideal set of evidence, yes, and anything less, no. You could have read the Gemara that way. What those Rishonim were saying is, no, Yet, the principle, which the Gemara is trying to teach us, is it has to have tangible benefit. We'll have to try to define how tangible is tangible. It has to have tangible benefit. But we can already think of cases a little bit if we think creatively. What about a shvua? That's tangible. That's a benefit. What about Adam Bezdin? Then, ironically, there's more danger of things going amok. On the other hand, you're not restricted by the limitations of Bezdin. Maybe there can be more positive. And even if the Chofetz Chaim won't agree with those specific examples, or either way, the point is, he certainly, the Chofetz Chaim, agrees with the principle. First of all, because it seems to be the correct reading of the Gemara. And more than that, as we'll mention, there are other halachos, other pesukim and chumash, which seem to make that absolutely obvious. And it's just, again, I want to point out, I'm stressing, is that it's not because we're going to be oblivious to this Gemara, which seems to be very restrictive. It's that even in this very restrictive Gemara, understood, I think, correctly, you already have the hint at what is the exception. And I think it's important to, not only that that the Gemara speaks in such restrictive ways, but we start that way. Because the default position should be to be restrictive. That should be our instinct. And if it's not our instinct, then it should be our training. But we have to therefore see that built into even the most restrictive of Gemaras is an opening which needs to be understood so that it can be applied correctly. Chofetz Chaim himself, as I mentioned, I'll just read you some of the Lashon. Chofetz Chaim, as you know, he wrote many Svarim about Shmiras HaLashon, some of which with different names. For example, here you have the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, and in the back, a second Sefer called Shmiras HaLashon. Within Sefer Chofetz Chaim, which is the most famous, he has two sections, Hilchos Lashon Hara and Hilchos Rechilus. So, and then within each, of course, he has chapters. So, in Hilchos Lashon Hara, for example, in Klal Yud Halacha Dalet. He talks about this concept. Or I'll even read you, it'll be easier. In the laws of Hilchos Rechilus. Where the Chofetz Chaim points out this notion, Eiza Oven Mutter L'Saper Lashon Hara, in Echad Hisnai Shelo Kishur Binyanin, the Binan L'Chavero. For example, he says, you see someone who's not doing nice things to other people. In such a case, HaMasaper Hazeh Mechavein Rak B'Toelas. The person is doing this because you want to save other people, you want to have a benefit. That's an example. So I'm going to give you more of the details, more of the examples. And in the footnote, he has a very famous footnote here. For those who were here for Pesach or who read my drasha, I quoted this footnote in Hilchos Rechilus Klal Tes, footnote Aleph, Ber Mayim Chaim Aleph, where he writes very beautifully about the exception where it could be mutter or even a chiv. And he points out how this has to be so. And he ties this in to the pasuk again, which is really in next week's Torah reading of Lo Selech Rachil. Because as you know, that pasuk also includes, afterwards, Lo Samod Adam Reyecha. And as he points out, for example, from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and other places, that we know that Lo Samod Adam Reyecha has a very broad application. It's not just meant about Dinei Nefashos, although obviously it's meant about that. It's even meant about Dinei Mamonos, for example. Right? Someone says, if you see someone who's going to lose, he quotes the Gemaras. I won't read them all inside to you now. He quotes the Gemaras and speak about someone you know, someone as a ganav. He gives that illustration. He speaks about a cleaning lady. He says, I could give you a million examples of the Kabbalah, but I'll just give you one. Ukadesh lo yedavrza lepela be'enei hakorei. I don't want you to think, you know, even the Kabbalah was worried about people, you know, don't think I'm being too makil. Don't think that I'm giving you this crazy thing, says the Chofetz Chaim. Al sh'ani mekel kol kach, u'matzrich leilich lahagid. In some cases, you have to go and speak. Ani mukhruch laharach sasminyaz. I have to give you some examples. It's not just, he says, for example, kagon she'roch. Oh, sorry, so what's his example, his illustration? It's just interesting that he chose this. Kagon she'roch talikach echad v'sharis oso b'beso. Let's take someone who's going to work around the house. What's the problem? Zamakiro mikfar shehu ganuf. You know that he or she, right, sometimes disappears with things. So what do you do? And he points out there's three possibilities. In mutter lahagilo, is it mutter to tell the prospective employer? Ulai de mitzvah nami ikka, maybe it's even a mitzvah. Oh, efshar de aser. It's amrachilus, maybe it's aser. How could he say it's lashon hara? After all, ki garim b'dibro l'zah hefsid. They'll lose a job, they'll lose money. Tangible hurt. So I'll just give you the one liner, and then he has the whole footnote to prove it. Nearly the mechuyev min hadin lahagizal. It's a mitzvah. You have to tell the person in that kind of a circumstance. I alluded to this in Shul on Yantif, and I just I forgot to bring it. I don't know if we have one here. Do we have a Hamek Dover?
Right
here. Shabbat. So the Hamei Gavar on the pasuk there of Losel Rochel was a parak mitzvah, pasuk tezvav, if I remember correctly. The Hamei Gavar says something very beautiful. He just points out the taich of the pasuk. Again, the word is Losel. The pasuk goes Losel Rochel ba'amecha should be a tail bearer. Losamir adam riacha ani Hashem. So the Hamei Gavar says at the end of his commentary here, we can't be oblivious to the context. Nichlal b'smichas azharas elu. What's implied in the combination of these two halachos in one pasuk? Sh'af agav shazahara lo selech rochil. Even though there's an iser to be a gossiper, b'kol makom lo samar ol dam riyacha. Namely, hainu im yodeh ish echad rotsa liyareh lechayav shel adam acher. You know someone's about to hurt somebody else. Harizem mechuyav lahodia. You're obligated to do something. V'asr la'amod ol dam riyacha. So again, it's a halacha which everyone else says, but the Netziv and others, the Netziv prominently, points out that this works beautifully in the taich of the pasuk. Thank you. Now, before we try to get into some more specifics, some of the more issues, it is interesting that to see how far one might be willing to go. There are the rush. The Rajba and others in their chuvos have the following question. So one thing, if I tell you now based on this that somebody can tell somebody else, whether it's the actual potential victim or the Bezdin or whoever, you know, this is about so-and-so. Can Bezdin, should Bezdin solicit people to come forward to give what would other, in any other context be Lashon Hara? As we know, maybe there's a problem out there. We're not sure. Maybe there are witnesses. We're not sure. Can we put out a call? Anyone who knows something, come forward. Can we solicit? Can we be that aggressive? So the rush is a limiting. The Chuvas HaRosh says it depends. If you already have two witnesses, so you know there's a problem, but you want to know if there's other victims out there, you need more evidence, more applications, a wider knowledge base. So once you already have the two witnesses to give you that veracity, then you can have a larger call. Well, yeah, ask, you're putting me in a very difficult position because I was the object of many of those. And I'm no fan of that type of academic whatever. I can't tell you how many times as part of, not personally, but as part of a group, you know, the principal come in. I know you did it. Just admit it, it'll be better for you. Of course, they had no clue. They're just hoping that one person will be scared enough to say, yes, it was me. Right, those kind of things. You're asking the wrong person. I'm very biased against those. Huh? I'm not saying it's awesome. I don't like it. Yeah, what it does. Right. So, because of Hilchos Lashon Hara or something else? Okay. I don't like it at all. I don't like what it does to kids to each other. I don't like that. Even if it would be technically Mutter, I don't like it. But in theory, it may relate to this Machlokas. So according to the Rosh, it's Asra Lashon Hara. The Rosh says, if you already have your two witnesses, so you know the basics, but for whatever reason you need other information, then the Rosh would say, you can ask other people to come forward. And in fact, in such cases, the Rosh says, you can go so far to compel people. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't remember. It's a good point. Okay, even the Rush, he's limiting, but in certain contexts he allows it. And the truth is he's the machmir, because there are some other more obscure Rishonim who quote Atshuvas HaRashba, who points out that in any case where you have reasonable suspicion that something happened, a geneva, right? And you're convinced that there are witnesses out there, but you're not walking into Bezdin. So they point out that then, again, you can solicit. Now again, when solicit, I don't think means, maybe this is what you're referring to, I'm not sure. Solicit does not mean anyone who knows the Yankel Zaganov come forward. Yeah, I don't think that would be allowed. I don't think that's what it means. You'd have to ask, you know, you'd have to solicit in a way that wouldn't not only bias, if you will, the witness pool, but more than that, in case nothing came forward. There's no reason, I don't think that anyone would be monitoring that. But, you know, if you know anybody, you know, everyone knows the Goldbergs got broken into, so to speak. You know, anyone who knows anything about the Goldberg theft, come forward, something like that. That's how I understand it. The point is that, again, there we're trying to bring people for Toelis, and you see that ad kedekach, we may, at least in certain circumstances, if those points need to be investigated, but we may even be so aggressive to elicit it. But what I'm trying to, by using that as the extreme, what I want to pull back and just focus on something more easy to understand or easier to accept is the notion of if people come forward and whether they should, so to speak, come forward. It's interesting, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has one of his very important svarim, it's called Kovetz Aris. Kovetz Aris is written, in a certain sense, I'll say in Masechas Yevamos. This also relates to the Chuvos HaRashba'i he put together on Masechas Yevamos. And Rabbi Chanan there in Kovetz Aris points out that we have other examples. You shouldn't think, even though it's true in this pasuk and then it makes the connection, but the idea of the toeles, that if you have the right motivation and in the right context, you can do things that would otherwise be osur. So Rabbi Chanan does not just a heter in Hilchos Lashon Hara. He says it's a heter in other things as well. So for example, he points out, it's an iser to hate your fellow Jew. However, even though it's not so popular anymore for good reason, but at least on the books, it's worth remembering that there is a halacha that you have to hate a Russia. The mitzvah to hate a Russia. Whether that applies nowadays, etc., is a different point. But says Rabbi Chanan, why? Because there's a toelas. By hating him, hopefully that hate will bring him to do tshuva. It'll also keep you away from doing anything bad yourself. You won't be tempted. If you have a warm, fuzzy relationship, maybe, you know, instead of you being makar of him, it'll be makar of you. Not so simple. We all know that's not so simple. So therefore, he says, Rabbi Chanan, that's an example. Or hitting somebody, right? It's a pasuk in Chumash, you can't hit somebody. And yet, in certain contexts, again, we don't use this nowadays either for practical reasons, but right, we were authorized, right? Someone's doing an aveira or not doing a mitzvah, so we had corporal punishment, because it's l'toelas. So Rabbi Chanan, and another example of that is, fitting in that general pattern, is Lashon Hara. If it's going to be destructive, or even parv, which is what we saw from the Gemara Pesachim, nothing's accomplished, even if it's limited to Bezdin, so it won't hurt anybody, it's not going to get out. But that you don't do. That you don't do. But if it's going to be constructive, so then it's at least Mukhtar and maybe Bechiv. Rav Avadji Yosef has a fascinating case and a tshuva. You know, just to realize, you know, many, many examples of this kind of stuff where sometimes get caught up in this high profile and salacious. But this has everyday type of ramifications. So for example, Rav Avadji Yosef was asked the following question by a doctor. This is really relevant. It's sort of fascinating modern shaila. A doctor knew that someone had cerebral palsy, which I believe can lead to seizures. Is that the right mach? I think it's cerebral palsy in the tshuva. Right? So, should somebody like that be driving? Should someone like that still have a driver's license? If they may seize in the middle of the road while they're driving? So, Rav Avadji Yosef Paskins, there's a chiyuv on the doctor who has diagnosed this problem to go to the DMV.
Yep.
Huh? So Rav Avadji Paskins, that's why it's important to know. I don't know if every rabbi would agree, I don't know, every posek. Rav Avadji Paskins Eli, not only does it trump Hilchos Lashon Hara, it even trumps doctor-patient privilege. Whatever, which is not just a modern invention. I mean, the halacha is a modern invention, but once it exists as a legal construct, so the patient has the right to expect it, right? To be megala sod, to reveal something in confidence, is usually usur. That's the second iser, not the Lashon Hara. Says Rav Avadja, the potential for sakanas nefashos, for him and certainly anybody else, overrides both of those. The toelas of protecting the community, in his opinion, Rav Avadja, overrides both of those isurim, and the doctor was mechuyev to go.
Isn't that true in civil law?
Okay. So the shaila would be, what is it true in halacha? Right. We know that it's incredibly complicating, and we never want to have it if we can avoid it. Or Allah tells you to do one thing, and the law tells you to do another. Then you got to figure out what to do, and that's not as simple as people think. But
so DMV
No, well, we mean would take away his license. That was the point.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not a bucky. The point is certain medical conditions. Right? All of a sudden, you're an ophthalmologist, and all of a sudden, you know this person is blind. They seem legally blind. You know, they can't see anything. Right? Even with the glasses, they're still fumbling around. Right? So, if you have certain vision that you're below, so if in 10 years, the next time you have to go for another exam, so then they'll catch you. What's going to happen in the next 10 years? So, Ravadya Paskin's doctor has to go forward to protect the community. Another very interesting.
Oh, that's a big issue. Whether they should have—they knew the guy was crazy. Whether they should have, the
right.
Doctor should have publicized.
Yeah, but I haven't had enough time this week to follow that case as much as I probably would have otherwise. And obviously, you have to be very, very careful when you Monday morning quarterbacking. As you go along, each one of these warning signs is never as bright red as they all are in toto, in retrospect. But maybe they made mistakes. I'm not saying they didn't. Maybe they made mistakes.
They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it legally, either through HIPAA or other things.
Well, some of these laws are Meshuggah.
They couldn't legally. They had to get his permission to even tell the parents, you know, that he had this condition.
Right. You know? Right. Yes. No. But again, some of the laws are nuts. There was a famous case a few years ago in New York when I was in New York. One of the last years I lived in New York. There was a famous, horrible, horrible case. Where I don't know if they were parents or they were foster parents, but they had horrific abuse and ended up killing the children or whatever. It was horrific. That's not the case I'm talking about. Chalila. There may have been, unfortunately, but that's not what I'm talking about. So what was made it much more traumatic for the community was it came out that five different New York City divisions knew about X, Y, and Z problems, but they were prohibited from talking to each other. And anyone who saw any of the information, it's not a Monday morning quarterback. If you had seen all the information, it was like, mamish, emergency ship emergency. But the laws were so ridiculous, and as a result, it was an outcry, and they've been adjusted. So, you know, if you have any person of conscience, whether you're a doctor in certain cases or looking for religious guidance, it's not so simple just when the law tells you not to do anything, whether you should actually listen to that. Sometimes there may be overriding considerations. But at least, as I say, in this case, I'm happy to hear that maybe the law and the halacha, according to Ravadya, would be in concert.
7/9/11
too, by the way. Yes. I'm not here to make a social commentary. That's hard. I got enough challenges on my plate. I'm not worried about reforming the American secret, intelligence community. It's worth noting another point, which is very interesting. The Pischei Tshuva, not the one on Yerideya and the Choshevishra, which is more famous, of Eisenstadt, who was Hungarian. But there's another one whose name I don't remember. It's not nearly as well as the Sefer. It's the Pischei Tshuva on Or HaChaim. The Tshuva in the back of Or HaChaim. So he points out, he says, the Maamar Chazal and certain Mefarshim, Rambam, speak so, so stark against speaking Lashon Hara. He says, of course, I agree. That's obvious. He says, because I want to speak by the opposite. Because I don't think he's giving enough attention to when people are mechuyev to speak Lashon Hara. And he admonishes people that in this case, he says, to not, this is what he said again, I think it's obvious, but it's notable to have such a prominent posek make this point. He says, as bad as it is to speak Lashon Hara when you're not supposed to, it's worse if you don't when you are supposed to. There's nothing in Lashon Hara that's as bad as Lashon Hara Adam Reacha. And again, none of this makes anything easy. On the contrary, it makes it more complicated. But I'm bringing this out to you to illustrate just, in fact, how complicated it is. Now, it's interesting that there's a Gemara Masechta Nida now I want to mention. Let's say someone comes to you. This is a big, big... Yeah, thank you. I knew someone thought of me. Thank you. The Gemara Masechta Nida discusses the following. Let's say somebody tells you something which seems to be Lashon Hara. So usually we're taught you can't be makabel such a thing. You're not allowed to believe it. And so if it's just, you know, so-and-so, I was driving down the street and I saw him, blowing his nose without a tissue. You're just gossiping. You're making fun of somebody. You know, I saw a guy and, you know, he was walking around like a schlob and, oh my gosh, right? That's just gossiping for the sake of gossiping. The halacha is, it's also be makabel. You should listen, and if you listen, you shouldn't believe. What if the thing that they told you seems to be Lashon Hara, but on the other hand, if it would be true, maybe I'd be at risk. Maybe I'm compromised. So am I prohibited from listening? Not with any definitive knowledge.
So the Gemara in Masechta Nida talks about the following case. Hopefully I can find it. Very, very powerful Gemara, in fact. Very powerful Gemara. Yes, thank you. Al, you are on tonight. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah. The Gemara refers to the case, you know, that after Gedaliah had already been murdered, then the same guy who killed him killed 80 other people. And Mepharshim discussed he wanted to have a plot to cover his tracks, whatever. Killed 80 other people. And the pasuk and the Navi seems to imply that Gedaliah killed them. But Gedaliah didn't kill them, Gedaliah was already dead. Says the Gemara, V'chi Gedaliah Hargan? Hello, Yishmael Hargan. Yishmael is the one who killed them. Says the Gemara, Ela Shemito Shehailo Lochosh La'atas Yochanan. Right? We know that someone came to Gedaliah and said, you know, they're planning on killing you. And Gedaliah didn't want to listen. And that's how he got in trouble. Not only is he responsible in a certain sense for his own death, Lochosh, therefore, Ma'ale Akosov Kilu Hargan. He has a culpability in the death of all the people who got caught up in his own murder. Think about that for a moment. He's the ultimate victim, you would think, and he is, obviously, he was murdered. We're not. Nevertheless, that's what the Gemara says. And then the Gemara says, Adiyuk, in the name of Rava. Hai l'shnabisha, this when it comes to Lashon Hara, it's true. Aho pisha, makabule, lo miboy. Maybe you're not allowed to be makabelit. But again, it's not black and white. Nechashle miboy. Which means you can't believe that it's definitively true if you have no reason to think that, other than somebody telling you something. But you're allowed to work within certain parameters under the assumption that it might be true as a way of protecting yourself. And the Gemara then gives the following very interesting example. Hanu b'nei Galila, the Nafak alayu kala the kalto nafshe. There were people from Galil, and there was a shmua that they were murderers. And the government was going after them, so they were on the lam, they were running away. Also the Kamei the Rabbi Tarfin. Wouldn't you know, if you're lucky day, knock at the door, can you please hide us? Hide us, Rabbi Tarfin. They're coming to kill us. Amrulei Lemitruan Mar. Save us, protect us. Amrulu, Rabbi Tarfin, said to them, Hechinavin, what should I do? Ilo Atriminchu, if I will not hide you, Chazi Isaichu, Atrafinu. They're going to find you're going to be in trouble. Amr Rabbanan, excuse me, exactly. Hi, Amr Rabbanan, Lishnabisha, Af the Gavdul Lekabule Lamibaya, Mechashle, Mibaya. So if I'm going to assume, if I'm going to protect you, then the government's going to come after me. And if I'm not going to protect you, they're going to kill you, they're going to catch you. Right? This is real Sakharas the Fortress for these people. The government's going to come kill them. Says the Gemara, therefore, what did he do? Also, Matru Nafshaychu. He said, go find a hiding place. I.e., you can't stay here. You can't stay here. Says the Gemara, that's an illustration of what we just said from a Gedaliah. There's a rumor that they were murderers. He didn't know Rabbi Tarfon had no knowledge. L'kabulei, l'makablinan. But Lechush ba'alma, he had to do. Now, it's interesting, as an aside, just because we heard that someone himself might not be such a good guy, obviously in this case, we could allow them to be killed. Hilchos Lashon Hara would allow us to allow them to be killed. So this Tosfos here points out from the Shiltos that there was a concern for Rabbi Tarfon himself. Because if he would have hid them, okay, if he assumes they're innocent and if he wants to hide them, he's putting himself at risk. If the word got out, then the government would kill him. So it's not just that we don't care about them, it's that there's a certain amount of self-preservation that's allowed. But the more dramatic part of the Gemara is certainly the first part even. The Gemara goes out of its way, even though we don't usually like to talk ill of those who are already passed. The Gemara goes out of its way to criticize Gedaliah, not only for culpability of his own death, which is bad enough, and the churban that it led to, which is why we have a tzom, because it was so catastrophic for the community that he died. But something which we never think about, which is what happened after he died in the immediate aftermath, and the Gemara gives that culpability. So the Chofetz Chaim quotes this. The Chofetz Chaim quotes this Gemara, Hilchos Lashon Hara, Klal Vav, Halacha Yud. Afo Pisha Beiranu, the Kabbalos Lashon Hara is Usur. What does that mean? Lahachli Belibo Shadavar Emes. To accept it as you know it is a for a fact true. That's Usur Min HaTorah. Mikamakam Amru Chazal, the Lachosh Miubai. You have to be concerned. Ubeira, what does that mean? Kitzarach lekabel as adavar b'derech chashasha va'alma. Which achashash, just to be very detailed, says that he points out in the footnote, chashash is less than suffik. You're not even allowed to say it's a suffik he did it. It's less than that. You can't even say it's a suffik. But somehow we're trying to split the, you know, thread the needle, even though we're not even saying it's a suffik, but I still have a right to play it safe. I still have a right to play it safe. Kedei lishmor es atzma mimenu, to protect myself from this alleged ganav, etc., even though it's not even a suffik in my mind. It's the only thing I know about this lashon hara, and I can't accept that. Nevertheless, I can still do this. Shelo yagiyo lo hezek al yado. Lo yadavar zafilu begeder suffik. Mamidin adam becheskas kashrus. Nevertheless, it's still something that has to be, it still has to be acknowledged. And then he points out, you're talking about from the Gemara Nido, or you mean just in general, you asking? He wasn't most of them. Masira is a good shayla. It's very relevant in certain cases of Lashon Hara. Obviously, there's a certain overlap. In fact, Nasan Libi, that in light of some of the important events controlling, I think, on the minds of Jewish people throughout the country, not just in Baltimore, that perhaps over Shavuos I would dedicate two shiurim to Masira. But that's not, I don't think that's applicable from this Gemara, because he wasn't most of them. He just wasn't hiding them. Why?
Because they were.
Oh, killing other people, you mean?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so, Lee Netter, someone from New York keeps on trying to call me. So, you know what? It's a good question, but that's Hechel Nasir Shaila. Not Hechel Lashon Hara Shaila, I don't think. Right. So what are you allowed to do? Say. From the only thing we know in Hilchos Lashon Hara, and meaning in that Gemara and in the context here, is that you're allowed to, again, at least according to the way Sefer Tosfos understands the Gemara is, you're allowed to preserve your own safety. Are you allowed to go further, which is what you're asking, is a good question. So I'll try to hold off until we do more Hilchos Masir. Blinader, you'll be over Shavuos, and we'll talk about it then. I want to just add one more point from the Gemara Masechah Sota, and then really one more point and finish. The Gemara Masechah Sota adds the following. I just want to give you a sense. I mentioned that we start off with the Gemara, that really, really, we're very restrictive. Even when you're L'Shem Shemayim, you're going to court. But, we said when there's tangible benefits, then it's mutter. And we discussed some of those factors right now. There's one chiddush that the Chafetz Chaim has based on the Gemara, which is important. Again, none of these should be abused, Chalila v'chas, none of these should be abused. But one of them is a very big chiddush, which is important, which is even intangible benefit. And even if the benefit is to no one else other than the one who's saying, quote-unquote, the Lashon Hara. The Gemara in Masechah Sota, on Daf Mem Beis, Amud Beis, here at the bottom of the page, quotes the pasuk from Mishlei, Daga belev ish yisichena. Someone has worries, someone has concerns, someone has anxieties. What do you do, says Mishlei? Tell them to somebody. Yisichena. So the Gemara quotes two Perushim. And very, very important, and I think the order is even more important. Rav Ami v'Rabbi Asi had the following. Chad Amar one said, Yisichena midaito. The first option, I'm saying it's the first option, even in priority, but to be fair, the Gemara just mentions it first. One option is, try to ignore it. Yisichena midaito, try to forget about it. Try to forget about it. Try to keep it within. Meaning you don't have to talk about other people, but just forget about it. Yisichenu, talk about it, but not from that miloshen hesechadas. Hesechadas means forget about it, get it out of your mind. If you can do that, good. If talking to someone else will help you get it off your chest, as we say, and give you a menuchas hanefesh, yisichenu l'acherim. Now, it's not explicit in terms of what the ramifications of this would be, but the Chafetz Chaim quotes this Gemara, and the Chafetz Chaim says as follows: the Efshar dehu hadin in kavanaso the sipuro. What's the kavana? What's the toelis that we're talking about? Not to save this person from the cleaning lady who's really a ganef. That's a very obvious, tangible benefit for somebody else, for future. Even if your kavana is lahafek es daagaso milibo, to alleviate your own anxieties. That itself constitutes a toeles that would allow someone to talk. And I think what Alan just alluded to is correct. Sometimes the shayla is asked, how can I go to a therapist? I have all these anxieties and these issues. How can I talk about it with a therapist? It'll be lashon hara. Huh? And that's the point. Here, we're not talking about some toilets for the world or for even other people. Your own emotional health or psychological health, that itself can be a toilet. Now again, that doesn't mean you can run around telling everybody. Right? Because again, if you could have the toilets in a more... The rule is always, whatever you need for the toilets is mutter, but nothing else. But nothing else. And that would apply to all these things, including this one. A very, very interesting thing. And again, I find that it's, you know, l'mashal, I'll give you as an example. A therapist hears all sorts of things during the course of a day. It's hard to go home and just say, hi, honey. I'm being very serious. Anyone in that kind of a position, right? So, I'm not now speaking legally. I'm not here to comment on what the legal is. I don't know. But it would seem to me, from a halachic perspective, if for him... over dinner telling his wife about some of the cases that he heard of. That would help him kind of unload and unwind. It would seem to me that would be mutter. Why is it only mutter for his patients? It should be mutter for him too. Right, right, okay. Enechanami, 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 enechanami. Okay. And what if he needed, the names? I'm not saying if. That's hard to believe why you should, I agree with you. But Lu Yitzuyer, he's also a mensch. The doctor also needs to be healthy. Right? Especially the doctor. Right? Yisichenu l'atho, right? Just try to forget about it. The shaila is if you can't. But what if you can't? That's the point. I was adding my own editorial, which I think is part of that. It's hard to know. It's hard to know, and certainly we don't pass in that way. It's even the Chavetz Chaim. I was suggesting, though, and maybe this is what the Gemara is trying to find, that there's a priority. First, try to deal with it yourself, because then you don't need this heter. But if you can't, I'll just end. I feel bad that we went over. I'll just leave with you with something that I mentioned a few years ago on the Shabbat Shuva Drasha, which if we had time, I would have reviewed more in depth. That is the famous machlokas between Rishon Salanter and the Chavetz Chaim about how to do tshuva on Lashon Hara. Right? If you were sitting in the back of the dining room prattling on about somebody, and now 10 months later all of a sudden you realize it was a terrible thing and you want to do tshuva, so we know the halacha is ben amachavero, you have to ask the person for a mechila. So in fact, based on the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Chavetz Chaim says yes, go over to the person and say, you should just know, while you were out learning, the rest of us are back in the door making fun of you that you're a nerd. You know, now I feel, I need to get my tshuva, so therefore I just want to let you know that everyone makes fun of you, and I was part of that. Sorry. That's the Chavetz Chaim says. So the story goes that he went to Rishon Salanter asking for a haskama for the sefer. Rishon Salanter refused to give a haskama. He does not have one to the sefer. When he asked him why, he said, unlike some other more notable recent examples, I did read the whole book. I did read it, and there's one thing I don't agree with. You said you should say it, and I hold this usher. Why? Because you're going to hurt the person by telling him. If he knew already that you were gossiping about him, okay, so then tell him you're sorry. But if he didn't even know, to tell him is going to make things worse. For what? So to make it better for you? No. In such a case, you don't have to tell him. You just do tshuva by yourself and it's okay. Very, very fascinating and fundamental and very practical. That happens all the time. Much, much, much of the lashon hara that we're all unfortunately guilty of, the victim doesn't necessarily know that we said. And the maisa, if you hold it to Chavetz Chaim, that's a huge, huge chumrah. I would think that Kedai or Rishon Salanter to hold like in that case personally. All right, Rishon Salanter holds that doing tshuva with Rabban Shalom is enough there.